Hey y'all, welcome back to this episode of the Crime Cafe podcast. As you heard in the introduction, we're going to talk about the murder of Danny Hansford. I'm Amber.
I'm Coral. Can I just say, before we get into this, this is how I wrote the introduction, and the introduction only, I wrote in my head like this. Savannah, Georgia is widely known. Because you just have to talk like that, you know what I'm saying? Right on Bull Street, Jim decorated his aisles.
He reminds me of Princess and the Frog. That was in Louisiana.
I know. It's like everybody like in movies and shows and stuff, when they're like, I'm from Georgia. Not everybody from Georgia talks like that. But people from Savannah really do talk like that. The murder. See, there's a murder down in Savannah. See, doesn't that sound normal?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, we were not able... Oh, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're recording a lot of episodes ahead of time.
Yeah, we record a lot on the same day because we don't have free time.
No, we don't have free time. And when we do, we're not the kind of people that are like, let's record for like 1 hour once a week. No. Let's record 10 hours and be done with the first half of 2021.
Yeah.
So, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good.
Good.
So, this happened probably like 2 weeks ago now.
Oh my gosh.
I told Corey I was going to talk about this. So, she picked me up and we were at Zaxby's and we had ordered, we were sitting at the drive-thru and I heard this really loud noise. And it's not funny.
It's not funny, but why did we see this?
Yeah, it's like every time we go out, weird things.
I know.
Occur. So, I look, and this man's tire is rolling away from his car.
Yeah.
The whole tire came off the car.
I think it's the cartoon-ish aspect of it.
Yeah.
We're just sitting in the drive-thru, and we look over, and this man's wheel is rolling.
Yeah, and his car, so, it just fell off the car. His car fell and hit the ground. Like, the bumper of his car was sitting on the ground. And
poor guy.
Yeah, and the woman in the drive-thru was like, who hit him? Someone hit him and left? And we were like, no, his wheel rolled off. Well, then there's a car wash really close to this. And from the car wash came our high school janitor to help him. It was just so ironic that it was our high school janitor and we knew who he was. And, as we were waiting, another car pulled up.
Yes.
And they, like, I don't know what they were doing, but the guy that the wheel came off instantly ran to this other car and put his hand in his pocket.
Let's just say we suspect they exchanged perishables.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the man that came walked over to the drive-thru and got a big drink.
For free.
Yeah, for free. He didn't give her any money. And then some guy that worked in Arby's came out, or in Zaxby's,
mm-hmm.
came out and started helping him. Mm-hmm. And another man that we went to high school with stopped and was helping him.
Yes, and you forgot to mention the part that the guy that was in the accident, he put the car on the jack, and then he sat in his car,
oh,
and
yes, it fell off the jack. In the high school janitor's face.
He started laughing.
Yeah. I'm sure the high school janitor knew this kid. He probably went to high school here.
Oh, yeah. He probably did. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It was just so ironic.
We feel like if the janitor was laughing, we can laugh, too.
Yeah. And
it wasn't that bad.
Fixed.
Yeah.
Nobody was hurt.
No. And we were literally about to eat, and this man's wheel started rolling.
Yeah.
But we did call the police, get him assistance.
Yes,
so
he did get help from the local sheriff's department.
Sir, if you're out there,
we're sorry.
Rest in peace to your wheel well.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
We are so sorry. It did mess up his car a little bit.
Oh,
his
yeah.
car will have to, well, you could probably just put the tire back on it and drive it.
I would.
It was just so crazy that that happened.
Also, let's talk about the view of the mountains on my way here.
Oh, yes. It yeah. snowed.
Right is on that road.
Right before the dump.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So pretty. I said the same thing about those mountains. I actually said, look at those mountains to Luke on the way in.
I love when they're dusted with snow.
Yes.
Also, I picked up quilting by hand for no reason. Because, like, I really need to do that. Like, I have time to do that. Please. I don't know why, but, girl, it's been really fun, actually. I like it. I enjoy it. But I really need a new quilt, but I didn't want to buy one. So I was like, fine, I'll just make it myself.
Quilts are expensive.
Exactly. That's why I didn't want to buy one. It's like $200.
Yeah, I have some really nice quilts that, like, my great-grandmother made and stuff, but we don't use mm-hmm. them.
Right.
I just have them packed away, and I feel like that's wasteful, but, like, I don't want them ruined.
To get ruined. Yeah, because if you use them every day like I did, mine looks like it was dry, rotted, and eaten by moths.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it's not that they're not worth $200, because they are, because like Amber just told you, she didn't want to use hers because
they
sentimental.
Take a ton of time. Yes. And they're beautiful.
Yes. So, they're worth the money. I just don't want to spend that money. So, I'm like, fine. If you guys know me personally, you know I have like 4 billion hobbies for no reason. So, yeah, that's what's going on with me. I haven't really listened to any podcasts lately because I've been home.
I've been listening. Well, I listen to Crime Junkie every week when it comes out. And then I've been listening to My Favorite Murder.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like to listen to their mini episodes.
Yes.
And hear the fan submitted stories.
Isn't that fun?
Yes.
I love it. And they're like really good short episodes.
Yes, I love to read, like, personal stories of things. Actually, this past week, it's really sad, actually, but I saw a Facebook post, and someone said, one thing on my bucket list is to talk to survivors of atomic bombs.
Oh, yeah.
So, I was like, what? I never even, like, had thought about that, mm-hmm. but I looked it up, and you can just look up, like, survivors of an atomic bomb, and all these websites will pull up with personal stories and pictures of the survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And just to read.
I know.
Some of those stories.
First-hand accounts.
Yeah, it was so.
I know. If you guys have a personal story about literally anything, you can send that to us through email.
Yeah, we would love to read that. We're going to hopefully be doing bonus episodes, and yeah. I would love to read those for bonus episodes.
Yeah, that would be fun. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, My Favorite Murder or, like, Morbid or any of those podcasts.
No.
You don't have to tell us about your hometown murder or anything. Just tell us a personal story that's crazy, first-hand account of what
it
something you've been
be
through.
It can even be, like, a good story, like something happy.
Yeah, something good.
That happened to you.
Yeah. Of course.
Just anything.
Tell us a good Christmas story if you have one.
Yeah. We want to hear. Tell us about your kids, about your pets.
Yes.
Tell us all the things.
We love pets. Amber and I are, like, obsessed with, like, hedgehogs, corgis,
yes.
like, otters, elephants. That's Amber's favorite animal.
Yes. Chinese crested dogs.
Chinese crested dogs. We talked about that today. Can I
yes,
tell you?
Please.
We want. Okay, look, if you have a 9-year-old Chinese crested dog with glaucoma and cataracts, no teeth, and no nails, can I have it? Thank you.
They're so cute.
I basically have a dog like that already, and I could add another.
She's adorable. She's a Yorkie?
Yeah.
She's
bless.
So cute, so I'm going to steal her.
Oh, no. She's so fresh. But I wanted to ask you guys, like, this is let's see. Oh yeah, we're in February now.
Our
so
first February episode.
Right. So what are you guys doing for Valentine's Day? And also, you should for like because you guys are our Valentines this year, because you listen. So also for Valentine's Day, can you guys tell us what you think about the podcast?
Yeah.
Please email us, even if it's only one sentence, because we want to know how we're doing. We really don't know, because we just say things and research and then put it out there.
Yeah.
We really want some feedback. So if you guys, like, have any pointers or...
Yeah, and we just actually really enjoy doing this. It's
just fun. It's fun. You guys, like...
We get to hang out and talk about something that we like.
We've talked about this kind of stuff together for years, but now we just talk about it and it's recorded.
Yeah. people can listen.
Yes. We've learned so much about things, I feel like.
Also, we talked about this in the last podcast. We're going to say it again. We are planning a small birthday party for my son's first birthday.
Yes.
And it is the Lucky One themed. So if you have any pictures or like suggestions of things that we could do to decorate.
Yes.
Or food.
Yes.
Food to make. That's something I haven't found a lot of.
What about green food? Like anything green or rainbow?
Yes.
Like I thought about maybe like making deviled eggs that like are green. Like green.
Oh, that'd be cute. Yes, I didn't think of that.
And like an all green veggie tray or something. Just like a green dip. Anything that we can dye green or that's green naturally.
Yeah.
Just any kind of food. We love that. That's like the best part of a party.
Yeah. Anything green, four leaf clover, horseshoe, rainbow, pot of gold, leprechaun.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Send us all that.
Anything holographic, like anything cool. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. I can't believe I didn't think about this. Have you seen those numbers that are like mosaic balloons?
No.
They create like a box of the number, like, because it's going to be one, and it's like 5 feet tall, and it there's balloons in it. I'll have to send you a picture of it. I'm going to make one.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm going to make number one or cash.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
Also, we should make a like photo.
A photo booth?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So Whitney can take some more posed pictures maybe.
Right. Like I saw this banner that would be really cute, and I thought about getting like a basket at a thrift store and attaching balloons to it and putting him in the basket.
Oh yeah.
Or like, I don't know. I wish we had a big cauldron we can put them in.
Yeah.
I need to find a green suit. I feel like I found one, but on Amazon, but I don't know what I did with the screenshot.
Yes.
But it's coming up soon, but still in a month in advance.
Yeah, we would have plenty of time.
Yeah, so just let us know. Like, you know, if you have opinions about this, just shoot an email at us. We just want to connect, you know? Like, help.
But other than that, we really haven't got out much this week, so.
No. No, I have gone back to work. I'm sad.
When'd you go back to work?
The 29th of January.
Oh, is when you'll go back. On a Friday?
Right? Yeah.
On a Friday.
Maybe a Monday.
Ask him. For a Monday.
I will. Who knows? Who knows when I went back? But I did go back and it sucked.
Yeah.
It didn't suck, but it did. Because I like to stay home and make biscuits and gravy.
Yes. And take me to eat.
Yes. And to the thrift stores and to TJ Maxx.
Yes.
Yeah, it sucks. That's depressing. So I don't know why I mentioned that.
Yes.
But the podcast will still continue. So that's good.
Yeah.
So, do you don't have anything else that you want to add?
Nope.
No? We still have our merch. You can go to the link in our show notes or on our Instagram. It's really affordable, and you don't have to get it, but you can.
Yes.
So, that's it.
Yes.
We're just going to go ahead and get into the case now.
So, for this case, we have a disclaimer. Unfortunately, we were not able to find much out about Danny Hansford's life, except for the fact that he was one of three sons and a daughter. And their mother is Emily Bannister. Bannister?
Bannister.
Bannister. It's truly sad that there is extensive coverage and information about Jim Williams, but there is little to no information about who Danny was as a person. We are not intentionally avoiding talking about Danny. We just don't know all that much about him. We will include any information we can about Danny throughout this episode. If you have any information about his character and what he did in his life that hasn't been reported in this episode, we would greatly appreciate it if you send us a DM or email, and we will update our listeners in a future episode. We were able to find his obituary on findagrave.com, and we would like to read to you some of the things people have written about him at the end of this episode. This episode is for Danny, not for Jim. Please don't forget Danny. And we always want to bring awareness to the victims. This is always about the victims, never about the offenders.
The offenders suck.
Yeah, they don't need attention. So, Savannah is the oldest city in Georgia, and it is part of the three haunted sisters. You have New Orleans, Louisiana, Charleston, South Carolina, and Savannah, Georgia. Savannah is the most haunted place in America, according to most sources. People go to Savannah to drink, party, and go on ghost tours, and enjoy the luxurious seafood by river. There are so many parks, squares, cemeteries, cathedrals, and Civil War sites to explore. So, right now we're going to talk about the main character of the book and film, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, Jim Williams. So, Jim Williams was born in Gordon, Georgia, which was a little outside of Macon, Georgia. At 24, he resorted his first three buildings located on East Congress Street.
He restored.
I hate myself.
So tired. She's a mom, okay? Just leave her alone.
Yeah. So at 24, he restored his first three buildings located on East Congress Street. Over the next 35 years, Jim and others restored over 35 homes in Savannah alone, and more in other parts of Georgia and South Carolina, including his home, Mercer House, and the famous Old Pink House. It wasn't just Jim that restored these houses. It was several other large investors. Jim would spend time restoring old paintings and antiques in the basement of his beloved Mercer home, often having calluses on his hands. It's amazing how someone with such fortune and luxury also had no problem with getting dirty. Many people wondered how Jim had such... What? Opulent. So, I don't know what this word means, but...
I might have spelled that wrong.
Opulent.
You know, opulent, like, ooh. Like, ooh, that chandelier is opulent. You know, like rich.
Oh. See, we're not rich. We don't have opulent.
Yeah, based on our microphone quality, you can tell we're not rich.
Yeah. And we're sitting in two, like, almost broke chairs.
In an extra bedroom.
Yeah, the rocking chair's on its last leg.
Literally.
Jim had such oculopent furnishings. And
oculopent?
I hate this. Not saying it. He had furnishings, okay?
I'm not cutting this out either.
That's fine. Okay. He had furnishings and collectibles because they considered him new money. Jim was quoted in the book and movie as saying, "Yes, I am."
Okay, this is... I'm gonna
you
say...
read that.
Yeah. Jim was quoted in the book and movie as saying, "Yes, I am nouveau riche, but it's the riche that counts." End quote. Nouveau riche just means new money.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yes, I am nouveau riche. I just wanted to say that again.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
I wish I was nouveau riche.
Me too.
I bought a scratch off, so make sure I'm nouveau riche.
We can only hope.
I think you were cursing me out, like, in your head when you got to nouveau.
Yeah, pretty much. You want me to read?
I will.
Okay. That's probably good.
After being previously used as a Shriner's Temple and laying vacant after that for 10 years, Jim Williams purchased the Mercer House in 1969 for $55,000, which is equivalent to about $390,000 today. It's considered a mansion, but that's pretty cheap for a mansion, in my opinion. But it's a house that literally has a name. It's called Mercer House, so I guess it is a mansion. Jim fully restored the Mercer Mansion in a matter of 2 years. They talk about in the book and the movie, they're like, "No, don't do it." And he's like, "Yes, I'm going to do it, and it's going to be my mansion, Mercer House." It became the site of many, many lavish low country parties and the place where Danny Hansford was shot to death. A little background about the Mercer House. It was built in 1860 by Hugh Mercer. Johnny Mercer, his great-grandson, is best known for writing songs.
His great-great-grandson.
Oh, sorry. Okay, you know what, Amber? I'm allowed to make a mistake.
No, you're not. Only I am.
His Johnny Mercer, his great-great-grandson, is best known for writing songs.
It rubbed off.
She's just so happy right now. Okay, he's best known for writing freaking songs such as Baby, It's Cold Outside, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, Jeepers Creepers, Where'd You Get Those Papers, and Fools Rush In.
Baby, It's Cold Outside's been banned.
I think we know why. Yeah.
Okay, when did that happen? Because I'm going to tell recently. You, I had no clue.
I know.
Until we were listening to Christmas music this year, and Luke was like, Baby, It's Cold Outside got banned.
I really can't stay. I know. She's like, I have to go. My dad's going to worry. And he's like, stay.
I know.
I poured you a cocktail. She's like, but my dad's worried, and it's snowing.
People think too much into things.
I know. I still like the song.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of decorations that say, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Yeah.
Anyway, despite a great deal of the Mercers being born in or around Savannah, the Mercers never actually lived in the Mercer house. It was bought and sold a few times. Like we said, it was used by the Shriners. Then it laid vacant. And then Jim Williams was like, Mercer house. And then it became his. Okay. Before we talk about the murder and trials, we have to make something very clear about the book and the movie. Listen up. While we do recommend both the movie and the book, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, which can be bought on Amazon Prime, they are not considered works of nonfiction, rather a combination of both fiction and nonfiction, which is why we recommend the book Lawyer Games, After Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, by Depp Kirkland, who was the chief assistant district attorney in Savannah at the time of the murder. This book is considered a factual retelling of the four trials of the state versus Jim Williams. Okay, so you can find this book on, you can find it on like Apple Books, Google Books, Kindle, whatever.
Yes.
It's really good. It's a really good book. You could probably read it in like 2 days.
So, this case starts in the early morning hours of May the 2nd, 1981. Jim Williams fired 3 9mm bullets at Danny Hansford, killing him. Jim used a World War II German Luger to shoot Danny after, claiming Danny had shot at him with another German Luger.
He had 3.
Well,
see, he was a collector, you know.
Oh, art dealer. Okay. Apparently, guns were also a part of Jim's extensive antique collection. So he collected a lot of antiques, not just guns.
Oh, yeah. He collected everything for no reason.
Okay. If Jim killed Danny is not up for debate.
Period.
Yeah.
So we all know he did it.
He did it. But we don't know why. How, when, and what was the intent? Was it self-defense? Jim has claimed it was. But in the beginning, Jim's self-defense claim wasn't that obvious. Upon the arrival of the first responding officers, Corporal Anderson and Patrolman White, Jim stated, I shot him. He's in the other room. That's just...
weird.
Yeah.
Shot him. He's in the other room. Isn't that very, like, not real?
I know.
It's like, there's a movie. There's a movie.
How
like,
are you that weird. Calm?
I don't know.
It's like a movie, like a bad movie.
It literally is. Like, the movie is like, just like, you know what I'm saying? It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. I shot him. He's in the other room.
So, Jim then led the officers to a study where the murder took place. Immediately, it appeared that a scuffle did take place as a grandfather clock had been turned over. On the antique Turkish carpet in front of the desk in the study laid 21-year-old Danny Hansford dead in a pool of his own blood.
And I just want to say, I grew up watching this movie with Nana. She was obsessed.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah. And then when I got older, I read the book. I had never seen Danny Hansford's face, the real Danny Hansford, mm-hmm. which, by the way, the book says that it's nonfiction, but they change his name. They change Danny Hansford's name. Okay, that's what?
That's weird, yeah.
It's sick. Anyway, I'd never seen what he looked like, but in the book Lawyer Games by Deb Kirkland, there's actual crime scene photos of Danny. Didn't expect that.
And I feel like if a grandfather clock was turned over, they're like big.
Oh, yeah. Heavy.
Yeah. So there was some kind of scuffle for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim was escorted out of the room questioning. Immediately, officers noticed two World War II sluggers spent Lugers?
You said sluggers.
Oh. Okay. World War II luggers spent 9mm shell casings, bullet fragments, a ricochet mark on the north wall, and a chair situated over the victim's body.
Yeah. Okay, I saw these pics. There was a chair in the upright, proper position a chair would be over his body.
That's odd.
Yes.
In the meantime, Jim was in another part of the house explaining to another officer, "He was shooting at me and I shot him."
Yeah.
Corporal Anderson reminded him of his Miranda rights before he spoke any further, and Jim explained that he had two lawyers already on their way.
Mm-hmm. He's rich.
So he's probably like called 911 and then called his lawyers, mm-hmm. or even called the lawyers first.
He probably did.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because there was a long time between, well, you'll see.
Okay. So Corey does do the research for these cases, and a lot of them I don't have.
Don't have what?
Much knowledge of before.
I tell Amber a little bit, and then she does her own research, but I do the final, like, form of it.
Yeah.
And she finds out details along the way.
Yes.
Like, she knows all the cases we're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, all the fine details, I'm not going to sit there and, like, tell her everything because it keeps an element of surprise and wonder about it.
Yeah, I get an actual, like, first reaction.
Right.
Of what I think when I read these. So, according to investigators and based on witness statements, Jim shot and killed Danny Ware anywhere from 2 a.m. to 2:22 a.m. And then Jim did not call the police until 36 to 58 minutes after the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
Yeah, they were the only ones in the house. Imagine if you were having a scuffle with somebody and
you shot
them.
If they were the only ones in the house, where are the witness statements from?
Hold on. Oh, there was no witness because Jim had called somebody right after the shooting. That's the only witness statement.
Oh, okay.
But there was nobody in the house, so what was he doing in that 36 to 58 minutes?
Yeah. So, the Savannah police station was only a few blocks away and responded within 90 seconds mm-hmm. after finally being called. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Savannah's small. I'm glad.
Yeah.
They do say that if he had called right when the shooting had happened, that they could have possibly saved his life.
Yeah.
And if it's self-defense, most normal people don't want them to die.
Yeah, if you shot someone out of self-defense, I think you would immediately call the police.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you heard that? I just shot somebody, they were trying to hurt me.
Yeah, I would not wait at all. That'd be the first thing I did. Danny, like we said, was face down on the carpet in a pool of blood holding a Luger in his hand. So is this the third one? They found two that were already shot? Or
yeah, two of them were already shot. One of them was sitting on the desk in the study. The other one was in Danny's hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Deputy Kirkland felt immediately like the scene in the study was set up. Danny's right arm was extended away from his body and his hand was, quote, perched on top of the 9mm Luger. Blood was caked on this hand, but no blood on the rug underneath. Only blood under his body. His thumb was tucked under against the palm of his hand, and his fingers were slightly curled. The lugger was placed perfectly under his hand, but he was... What? Oh. Thought you motioned your hand. But he was not holding the lugger. His hand was simply on the gun. Danny's head was also facing away from the gun. It was obvious, at least to Deputy Kirkland, that someone had pulled Danny's hand out from under his body and placed it on the gun. Not only that, but there was literally a chair placed on Danny for some reason. Deputy Kirkland and the other officers observed that this could have only been placed on Danny after the fact. Danny had been shot 3 times by Jim by a similar lugger, which was on Jim's study desk. Over the course of 5.5 hours, the crime scene team and county coroner collected measured and photographed evidence carefully and cautiously. It was time to arrest Jim.
They arrested him immediately that night.
Good.
And I'm gonna like motion to Amber what his hand looked like, because I did see the photos. I'm obviously not gonna post those. It's not worth it.
No.
But so let's pretend that my phone is the lugger in Danny's hand. It was like Danny's thumb was under his palm. It was like this on the gun.
That's not natural.
Sorry, does that look like...
Okay, just the chair. You shot someone and they fell under a chair and it didn't knock it over?
Yeah, and the chair landed upright on top of him and on his clothing.
Yeah.
A leg was on him.
The chances of that would be like...
Zero.
So, yeah, so slim. Which is... Why would you even use that if you were setting up the crime scene? Why would you think about that?
Still to this day, they never figured out why the chair was put on him. Like, the prosecution can never even explain it. But the fact that it's so weird...
I know.
...is the reason...
And even if you thought, like, maybe he's not dead...
Yeah.
Let me put a chair on him.
Like, maybe if he passed out or something.
Yeah, like, he could move a chair, probably.
Yeah.
He's not going to, like, raise up and knock himself out on it or anything.
No.
This is weird.
It was, like, on his pant leg or something. Yeah. Like, a leg was.
So, after Deputy Kirkland advised officers to arrest Williams, he blatantly looked at Kirkland and said, "If I'd wanted to, I could have shot you. There's another pistol in this table." It turns out Jim had not one, but 2 World War II Lugers and 2 other guns, all loaded.
Mm-hmm. So, they arrested him right there, and he was like, "I could have just shot you right now."
Why would you even say that?
I know. And then, not only did he say that, but they found that he could have.
Yeah.
Because he had guns stashed everywhere, and they were all loaded and ready to go. Freak.
That's so weird.
I mean, I guess I would, too, if I was rich and had a lot of, like, prized possessions, but I wouldn't threaten the assistant district attorney.
No. I feel like a lot of men collect guns, like wealthy men collect guns.
Oh, yeah. Or poor men. Men like guns.
Yeah, anybody likes guns.
True.
After Jim's arrest, his bond was set at $25,000, which he immediately paid for in cash, of course, because
he's rich. You know.
He was then released. An autopsy of Danny's body was later conducted. Unfortunately, all of the autopsy photos have been lost. How wonderful.
Yeah.
I love that we can't keep any photos. Yeah. My grandmother's had photos in a drawer for like 50 years, and she actually passed away in 2014, and there are probably some like still in that drawer.
Literally.
That she always kept them in, and they can't keep...
You can't find autopsy photos?
You can't find important photos, but I can find photos of, like, someone's shoe from 1960.
Yeah, literally. I have pictures of one of my cousin's birthday cakes from, like, 97.
Yeah, I mean, people just have And, like, back in the day, you couldn't delete photos. Mm-mm. So you just have, like, terrible photos.
And it was all physical. Nothing was digital. So yeah, they had to have been printed.
Yeah, exactly. So it's weird that they lost them.
Mm-hmm. But so, it's also weird that he's rich and they lost him.
Oh, yeah. On June 12th, 1981, a grand jury returned on indictment charging Jim Williams with first-degree murder. The indictment stated Williams did unlawfully and with malice aforethought caused the death of Danny Lewis Hansford, a human being, by shooting the said Danny Lewis Hansford with a pistol.
Yeah, it's basically just rigmarole jargon saying, yes, he's a human, he shot him.
Yeah.
Jim's famous Christmas parties were always followed by a second party that was considered gentlemen only. It suggested
disgust.
That... well, until they're not what you might think. It suggested that Jim would hire male escorts to entertain these gentlemen. This is how he became to meet young Danny. I know, she's looking at me like, what? See, like, I thought when I first heard about this, oh, like women, okay, they're gonna hire women. No, he was actually, it was widely known that Jim was gay. And that it was widely known that Danny was an escort. Which doesn't mean anything.
No.
I mean, it doesn't say anything about people that want to pay to play. And it doesn't say anything about sex work.
Exactly.
But back then, it wasn't widely accepted. And you usually got treated badly.
Well, it's still not widely accepted.
No.
And we were talking about how messed up that was just a few days ago. That sex workers... crimes do not get looked into.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have families, children, mothers, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, cousins.
Yes.
Friends.
Children.
Yeah, they still have tons of people that care about them, and they deserve answers just as much as anyone else.
Yeah, like...
And it's disgusting.
It is. And this is one of those cases where a sex worker was just not cared about and not looked into properly and not prosecuted properly.
Disgusting.
Yes.
So disgusting.
Hate.
Yes.
Like, everybody knows that Danny didn't get justice because of this.
Also, gay men.
Yes. So he's gay and an escort.
Anyone in the LGBTQ community is not...
I know.
Is widely... Or not as widely, but not...
taken seriously?
Yeah, not investigated as well.
Right, it's not as thorough.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah, thorough, mm-hmm. That's the word I was actually looking for.
Yeah.
Which is disgusting, and why can we not change that? They're human. It's 2021, people.
I know, like, they're human. And didn't the indictment say he caused the death of Danny Lewis Hansford, a human being?
Exactly.
Which is what's important.
Yeah.
And it cool, he is gay. That's great. He's an escort. That's great. But because of society and the pressures, he wasn't treated right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they arrested him immediately, but you'll find out soon that it wasn't taken as seriously as you might think.
Yeah.
According to Lawyer Games, Danny had a rough childhood, having never really had a father figure and never completing the 8th grade. Danny's father had unfortunately committed suicide when Danny was only 7. You can cough. Do you need a cough? His parents had already been divorced for 6 years. It wasn't a marriage set for success anyways, being that Danny's mom was at the age of 15 when they got married. And at the age of 11, Danny and his siblings were placed in a Savannah orphanage for a time. Eventually, their mother pulled them out. On 3 other occasions, Danny was placed in a home called Gould Cottage for broken children. Emily eventually pulled him out of there as well. Danny also understandably suffered with mental health issues in his young life, eventually spending 2 nights in Georgia Regional Hospital. The hospital tried to make arrangements with his mother, Emily, to help with Danny's treatment, but she never showed up for the appointments. Horrible. Danny was again admitted to the mental health facility at 19 when he came to Memorial Medical Center after having suffered lacerations from his landlord striking him with a stick during an altercation. Danny checked himself out 2 days later. The staff at Georgia Regional Hospital noted that, quote, care and supervision of adolescent boys seems to be a problem with the mother, and that she was, quote, not willing to take the time or accept the responsibility for working out a plan. It's safe to say that Danny's life and relationship with his mother was incredibly strained, but it also recognized that Emily, too, had a rough childhood. It always seems to go that way.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
It's a cycle.
It's sad that she didn't break that cycle and wasn't willing to make a plan to help with her child's mental health.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she became a wife and a mother at 15. So, she didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, even if she did, what could she have done? She doesn't... I wouldn't have known what to do with my son when I was, like, 20 years old or whatever.
No. That had to have been hard on her.
I'm sure it was. And just because you give your child away or you're not there for them or, you know...
It doesn't mean you ultimately don't love them.
No, it means that sometimes you're incapable or sometimes you don't know how.
Yes.
It turns out that even though Williams was quoted, or it turns out that even though Williams was, quote, trying to help Danny, Danny did have a girlfriend, Deborah Lynn Belvins. Danny had a habit of getting into legal trouble, and Jim liked to tell everyone that he was helping save Danny from himself.
Wonderful.
Yeah. In Deb Kirkland's book, Lawyer Games, he straight up said Danny, this is going to make you so mad, was a, quote, male hooker, end quote, and goes on to describe Danny as a trashy streetwalker not worthy of the title escort. We do not support this disgusting terminology or descriptions of Danny or other sex workers in this book.
Wait, who said that? The deputy?
The deputy district attorney. Kirkland, that wrote the book.
And he still works somewhere, or...
This came out in, like, 2018, 2017. He said that Danny was not worthy of the title escort, and that he was a male hooker, and he was a trashy streetwalker.
That's disgusting.
I know. Trashy my ass. As far as everyone knew... Anyway, we don't support that language. It's garbage.
No.
As far as everyone knew, Jim Williams was an out gay man, and everyone knew and was pretty much okay with it. I mean, everyone knew of his after parties and such, yet Jim was fearful that anyone would find out that him and Danny had a sexual relationship. Obviously, of course, it's like, you know, mid-century, you know, it's not as accepted. And apparently, Deputy Kirkland still not accepting of it. Disgusting POS. Although we do recommend that book, we don't recommend any of that kind of talk in there. The only reason we recommend that book is because it's a play-by-play retelling of the crime scene and all of the trials. That's it. We don't agree with any of the opinions he has in that book.
And it was someone that was there.
Right.
So.
Someone that was there, and the person that wrote Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil is just a journalist that was following Jim Williams around and writing about him.
So.
So.
Among Danny's belongings was a picture of a sketch he drew, possibly of Jim. And on the back, he wrote the word school 11 times. He also wrote, "What have I done? I'm 20 years old, and I suck dicks and get fucked by different people for money." That's sad.
Yeah, they found that.
Yeah.
Why did he write school 11 times?
I don't know.
It's so sad.
That is so sad. So, according to Danny's friend, George Hill, Danny would do sexual favors for Jim in exchange for money and other material things. We don't tell you guys these things to paint Danny or Jim in a certain way, but just to show you the kind of life Danny and Jim were living. Danny was a sex worker, living a dangerous life in the streets of Savannah, and Jim used his wealth and power to convince him he's helping mentor Danny when really he was paying him for sexual favors and manipulating him. Deputy Kirkland claims Jim's sexuality didn't matter to the case, but we highly disagree considering the way he spoke of Danny and the way he spoke of Jim. Anyways, all that matters is that they had a horribly messed up relationship, not because of the money for sex, but because of the just general turmoil between them. The prosecution believed Jim was mad that Danny had a girlfriend. Jim even went so far to prohibit Danny from seeing his girlfriend Debbie. Apparently, Debbie had no idea that Danny had a sexual relationship with Jim.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very possible.
Yeah. I mean, why not? There's no cell phones.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to work or something, you know? We don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, okay, bye.
Yeah. And
she wouldn't know.
No.
I mean, and he makes money, so if he goes to work, then that's all she knows. He he makes money, and that's
he
it.
He could say he works anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So, according to Lawyer Games, Jim had given Danny a $400 necklace worth over $1,000 today on the stipulation that Danny would break up with Debbie. So he was just manipulating him into breaking up with Debbie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He would buy him all kinds of stuff.
That's crazy. So, Danny then gave the necklace to Debbie.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, really. But Danny was murdered 2 days later. So what happened in that study? What led to Danny's last moments? Jim Williams was notoriously open about his version of events, even doing an interview with the Georgia Gazette, which is so dumb. Why would the one and only witness and suspect publicly speak out about their experience?
Makes I know.
No sense.
On a paper? And yeah. You haven't even been to trial yet.
I know. I feel I would be scared that I would say.
Yeah. I know. What you can say and will be used against you, ho.
Exactly. So he literally said in his own words what happened. And to an investigator, this is the cherry on top of an investigation. Jim provided a blueprint for the crime. And it was up to the prosecutors to see if the evidence matched or did not match.
Idiot.
Yeah.
And they did use it against him.
Good.
Not only did Jim run his mouth to anyone that would listen, literally anyone, he also changed his story multiple times. First, he said Danny was playing a video game and asked Jim to join him. Jim refused, and Danny became enraged and started throwing things and came into the room with a gun and shot at Jim 3 times before Jim got his gun and shot back. Yeah.
What was he playing?
Pong? I literally don't know. What
Please
are they talking
come
about?
Play Pong with me. Well, did they have a Nintendo out?
I don't know.
I don't
See,
know.
When they
we
said video game, I'm like, what video game?
Yeah.
Were you watching, like, I Love Lucy? Is that a video game to you? Okay. La, 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 la. Oh. He says he then sat down at his desk and started doodling when Danny came. Oh, no, no. His second story is that he just sat down at his desk and started doodling on a piece of paper when Danny came in with a gun pointed at him. Ah! In the Georgia Gazette, William stated that they went to see a movie together earlier in the evening and that Danny had smoked 9 joints and drank half a pint of whiskey during the movie. Jim goes on to make himself seem like the hero by saying, quote, I thought what he had consumed was far better than all the pills he used to take. He had come a long way in the 2 years that I had been working with him. End quote.
You're so good, Jim. Thank you for helping. What?
Yeah, he's like,
why would you even let someone smoke 9 joints and drink half a pint of whiskey during a movie?
Why? Because it's better than the pills he was on when I helped him. The killer always tries to make themselves the hero.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to say, like, you know, I messed up his life even worse.
Yeah, he's not going to say, oh, I groomed him and he's a child.
Jim went on in this interview describing how they both played a computer game together. What? Pong. That's the only computer game I can think of.
Yeah, in the same interview, he changes his story again.
Oh, goodness. And then Danny got mad and complained that Jim didn't enjoy the game and that Danny grabbed him by the throat and told Jim, why don't you just go off and die? What? No, he didn't.
No, okay, in this interview, he's like, we were playing a video game and he stormed off and got mad. And they're like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, he got mad when we were playing a video game and he grabbed me by the throat. See, he's just like changing stuff.
Yeah, and that's what... I just don't see that being like...
Go off and die.
Yeah, you got that mad over a video game.
I know.
Jim said Danny then stormed off and started throwing things and pitching a fit. And in the meantime, Jim went to his study. Danny came in and said, I'm leaving tomorrow. And Jim said, that's fine. And Danny left and came back and said, you're leaving tonight. And pointed a gun at Jim and shot. Quote, I don't know how many times. Maybe once, twice, three times? You don't know? You were shot at.
I'm leaving tonight. That's fine. No, and tomorrow. You're leaving tonight. Or, I'm oh, leaving yeah. Tomorrow. I'm leaving tomorrow. And you're leaving tonight. Pew, pew. He shot, I don't know, maybe once, twice, three times. How do you not know how many times someone shot at you?
And why did he leave and come back and say something so dramatic?
Why don't you just go off and die?
Okay, Jim said this so they can make a movie.
Literally.
Yeah.
They were writing the book as it was happening.
He literally just made up a movie and told about it.
Yes.
Okay, so we were telling you all of this to say what the heck happened. Literally, what?
We don't know.
That's insane.
He's telling us.
Yeah, and nobody knows.
No.
There was nobody else there. So unless, you know, this will never be.
No.
There's no way.
If you... are listening to this episode hoping for a satisfying ending, you're not going to get one. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. So, Jim is either playing or not playing a game, doodling or not doodling. He got shot at once or twice or maybe even three times. Who knows? He keeps changing his story. But this isn't even the only time Jim changed his story. No, a month earlier in April, police were called after an altercation occurred involving Jim and Danny, in which Jim explained Danny was a guest staying with him and that Danny was threatening to kill himself, and he allegedly fired shots inside and outside of the house with a Luger. A Luger?
Luger.
Luger. With a Luger. In April, Jim told the police Danny shot the floor twice, but in May, after the murder, Jim told his friend Danny had shot at him, not at the floor, a couple of times back in April.
Yeah, so he tells the police he shot at the floor, and he tells his friend he shot at him.
So he just keeps. He doesn't know.
Yeah. But it would help his case more if he had told the police he shot at him. Because that shows leading up.
Yeah, or it would help if he just kept one story.
Right. Like, he's kind of dumb. To be a rich person, he's kind of dumb.
But also, changing up your story makes it hard to convict you, too, because... you know, they can't tell what happened because you say everything.
Yeah, they can't tell what happened at all.
Yeah. So, the first trial began on January 25th of 1982. So, that was pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, the prosecutor's main point was to prove that Jim Williams likely staged the scene of the crime because of the large amount of time that passed between the shooting and the call to police. After the shooting, Williams called his friend Joseph Goodman, who actually ended up testifying on behalf of the prosecution. According to Goodman, Williams called him between 2 a.m. and 2:05 a.m. to tell Goodman that the Europe trip was off, and Goodman claims he talked to both Danny and Jim.
Yes.
Okay.
Talked to both of them on the phone.
So Danny was still alive at this time?
Mm-hmm. At 2:05.
But I thought it was after the shooting.
Okay. In the testimony, he had called him twice. In the testimony Goodman gave, he said that he called him at 2:05 and then called him directly after the murder.
Okay. Goodman then says he gets a second phone call from Jim at 2:22 a.m. So there's the second phone call.
Yeah.
That's not a long time at all.
No. And he was talking to Danny.
Yeah.
And then they got off the phone, killed him, and called him back. What the?
but they were playing the video game and doodling. Mm-hmm. And okay. Saying he shot Danny and to come quick, and he says he knew the time of the call because he was sitting in front of his microwave. Okay. Same.
Literally.
It came out through Goodman's statements that he met Williams when he, Goodman, was 12. And they began having sex when Goodman was just 15 or 17 and Williams was 34.
Yeah, that's how Goodman, Jim's friend, that's how they know each other. Williams likely found him on the street and was like, want a freak? Okay. Disgust. Grooming.
Yes. So this man has done things like he did to Danny. He's manipulated other people.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably done other things, crimes.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know. So they continued their friendship, if you can call it that, for years. And Williams actually ended up being Goodman's best man in his first wedding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's how, like, convincing these predators can be to the children.
That's so crazy. So the defense started poking holes in Goodman's testimony by asking if he is certain the time was 2:22 a.m. exactly. And Goodman stated he was pretty sure, but he didn't know for certain because sometimes the numbers looked different on the microwave. Goodman did stand by the fact, though, that he did speak to Danny on the first phone call, and he for sure knew it was Danny and that he sounded like his normal self, just a little slurred, but that Danny usually sounded a little slurred. But he said Danny did not seem a bit enraged.
It comes up a lot that, like, Goodman's like, yeah, it's 2:22, and then they're like, are you sure? And he's like, I don't know. You know, everything's shaky, and you can say that, I don't recall, or I don't know, and you can't really convict on that.
Yeah. And I feel like someone being like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah.
You're going to start to question yourself always.
Exactly.
So, Corporal Anderson was the next to testify. During this testimony, he stated, Jim seemed rather cool and calm upon the officer's arrival to Mercer House. The defense tried to suggest Corporal Anderson moved the chair onto Danny's body, but that is just preposterous. It was cash on the door. It's very clear that Jim would have been the only one there to do it. The reason for him putting the chair over Danny's body was unknown, but it was very clear that he did it after the murder. The chair being placed on the body is the most compelling evidence in the Williams case, because in Jim trying to stage the crime scene, he didn't notice that he literally put one of the legs on the chair of Danny's pant leg, and it was so far onto Danny's body that his legs were sticking out the back of the chair.
And they're speechless.
Yeah. So, the crime scene photos are out there, and they're very disturbing. But they are out there.
Yeah.
It's super clear that a chair was just put over him for some reason. Not only was the chair over Danny, but it was literally so out of place for a chair to even be there. Not only was it weird for a chair to be on top of Danny, there were skull fragments found on the seat of the chair. And according to investigators, this means that the only way skull fragments could have been on the seat of the chair was that the chair had been toppled over at some point and Danny had been shot in the head while the chair seat was facing Danny's head. Skull fragments were found in two other places in the study as well. And that diagram will be on our Instagram at Crime Cafe Pod.
Mm-hmm. So this chair is on top of him, but there's his skull is on top of it.
Yeah. How does that?
Literally. Why do I keep saying not only was the chair on top of Danny?
I don't know. I didn't realize that.
Was I literally on crack when I wrote this? Okay. So the chair was on top of him. His legs were crossed under the chair. There were skull fragments on the seat, and the chair was completely out of place from where it normally stayed. In Jim Williams' haste to stage the crime scene, he hadn't even noticed that he put the chair in such an odd place, which was literally right on Danny's body. What the heck? Because Jim wouldn't confess to these charges, he had no other option than to deny he moved the chair. Because you know, he had to deny moving it. His defense team argued that Jim wasn't the one that moved the chair, it was the cops. Also, in response to Williams' cool and calm demeanor upon investigators' arrival to the scene, his defense surmised that the reason he was calm was because EMS had been dispatched, and they helped calm his anxiety. They're saying that the police said he was calm because the ambulance people helped him? I highly doubt that. He wasn't the one that was shot.
Yeah, why are you going to stop him?
Especially when you're the one that shot him.
Yeah. So, the defense also tried poking holes in the timeline in reference to the security of the crime scene. Questioning the detective about who he left in charge, how many people were in the room at any given time.
Just stuff like that, yeah. Just basic.
So, basically, they were just wanting to put doubt about the security of the crime scene into the jury's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's very fair considering there's a defense attorney, that's a defense attorney's job.
Yeah.
So, if I was Jim, I would want my lawyer to make sure the jury knew the crime scene might not have been as secure as they might assume.
Classic.
Yeah. You would obviously you would want hope. That.
Yeah.
There are so many details in these trials. So, we're going to try to sum up the details of the first trial and the following trials as best as we can. But if you want extremely specific details about the crime, please read Lawyer Games.
Yes, it's way too much.
Yeah. So, the biggest crack in the defense's case was the fact that there was no way the altercation went down like Jim said it did. When you enter the study, the desk is on the left-hand side with the desk chair facing away from the door. If Danny was on a furious rampage and wanted to shoot Jim, he would have walked in the door and shot Jim right there. And the whole thing would have been done and over with. So there's the first crack. The second crack in the case is that Jim claimed that where Danny's head was laying was where Danny was standing when he shot at Jim. There was even a bullet hole from this angle, as if Danny did shoot in that direction towards him. This is impossible, though, because if Danny shot at him right where his head was laying, he would have fell to the left when shot by Jim.
Oh, sorry, I messed this up. Basically, what we're saying is, like, Jim was saying that where Danny's head was found, he shot at him. But if you shot at them from where your head was, you'd have to, like, fall direct. How are you directly gonna fall where your head is? Like, okay,
how is your head gonna fall where your feet were?
Literally, okay. Yeah, that makes no sense. Yes.
Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense. So the angles are not matching up at all. And if you're looking at Jim from the opposite side of the desk and you shoot at him and Jim shoots back, you're not gonna fall. I mean, you're just not gonna land like that at all.
Yeah, we can just skip this whole part because we just said it right then and there. You said it.
So, because of the incredibly stupid staging of the crime and the obvious physical evidence we just stated, and including earlier when we said the officers and investigators observed that Danny's hand was just resting on the gun and his hand was caked in blood, but there was no blood under the carpet where the gun was, it was obvious his hand had been pulled out from under his body and placed on the gun. Also, there was no blood on the gun, but there was blood on the palm of his hand. There were 3 shots fired into Danny. 1 to the chest, 1 to the back, and 1 to the back of the head. Also, the quote, attack bullet was fired toward the desk, penetrating a stack of papers on the desk and a leather pouch lying on the floor. If you were in a rage and wanted to kill somebody, why would you shoot down at the desk?
You wouldn't.
No.
Not if you were like, you're leaving tonight.
I know. I just love that. Jim Williams was convicted of the first-degree murder of Danny Hansford on February 2nd, 1982.
Period.
Yeah. The whole trial lasted a week.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm glad. He should have been.
Yeah. But, unfortunately, like most rich people, Jim posted an appeal bond and went home.
Apparently, that was something back in the 80s that, like, if you were planning to do an appeal, you can bond out. So he appealed the same day he was convicted. Yeah, they changed it now, but
good.
If you're like, we're going to appeal, he's like, okay, bye.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in Jim's appeal to Judge Oliver, who was the presiding judge over the first case, he provided 6 points of error in the trial. We don't know the details of the errors, but Judge Oliver denied the motion on April 23rd, 1982, after almost three months after Jim's conviction. The defense then filed a notice of appeal to the Georgia Supreme Court on May 14th, 1982. On June 30th, 1982, the defense presented the Supreme Court with evidence that the prosecution withheld the last page of the report made by Corporal Anderson back in May of 1981. In the last page of the report, Corporal Anderson made note of the incident back in April where Jim claimed Danny shot the floor in the house. Although the Supreme Court did decide Corporal Anderson did not perjure himself.
Yeah. Basically, the Supreme Court's like, okay, yeah, he didn't lie.
Yeah.
Just because he didn't give the last page doesn't mean he didn't lie. Like, in his testimony, he didn't lie about anything.
Okay. And through all this, was he still out? Like, through the Supreme Court
yes.
stuff? So, this has been almost a whole year that he's just been out of jail, even though he was convicted.
No. Okay, the report in May of 1981.
Yeah, but he was convicted of first-degree murder on February 2nd, and he's still out.
He's still out, and this is June
30th.
Yeah.
That's like almost a whole year. Like half a year.
4 months.
Almost half a year.
A whole year! I'm like, did I mess up? I thought it was like a literal year.
I don't know why I feel like that was so much more time.
It is too much time for a convicted felon to be out.
Yeah, that's a lot of time that passed.
Stupid. Okay.
Hang on, let me find where it was. So, the Supreme Court did...
They decided he didn't perjure himself.
Yeah.
And... They decided the knowledge of the last page of the report would not change the overall outcome of the decision.
Wasn't that important.
And that the April 3rd incident where he claimed they shot at him or shot the floor or whatever had nothing to do with the May 2nd incident that was mentioned in the last page of the report. So they overturned the guilty verdict, even though they know he didn't perjure himself, even though it wouldn't change the outcome, even... The Supreme Court of Georgia literally was like, oh, fine, it's overturned.
That's disgusting.
Yes. Why?
But he had money.
Yeah,
exactly.
According to the Supreme Court, there was evidence that the prosecution was withholding evidence from the defense after the defense had allegedly requested the document and was denied by the prosecution. The prosecution denied this request was ever made. Either way, this is a lousy excuse to overturn a murder conviction, in my opinion. Plenty of people have had exculpatory evidence provided to Supreme Courts and then been denied a retrial or denied an overturned conviction. Let's discuss that. So, what do you think about, like, the case when you hear that they present a large amount of exculpatory evidence and the court's like, no. I think of Serial.
Yeah.
Haman Lee, the murder of Haman Lee. They're like, we have more evidence. And they're like, not really. So they don't get a new trial.
Yeah, that does sound a lot.
Yes. It's just, I don't know. The Depp Kirkland, he goes into in Lawyer Games, like, what kind of evidence has to be presented in order for a retrial for on the defense's half. I don't remember everything, but basically it's like a lot. Like, you have to prove that new evidence has come about that they didn't know about before. Like, if they find something, it's just weird.
Oh, yeah.
So even though Cook Williams' lawyer was key to Jim's overturned conviction, Jim decided to change lawyers. His new lawyer was Frank Sonny Sealer. I don't know. The prosecution was still confident in their case, obviously, and the second Williams trial would commence on September 19th, 1983, and would last 19 days. So at this point, he hasn't spent long in jail. A few months while he awaited the first trial, and then after the first trial, he went home and didn't go back.
So, wait, I thought he bonded out.
He did bond out. Like, he was first arrested, okay, and then he had to wait. Oh, yeah, he did bond out. Mm-hmm. So he didn't even spend time in jail. Okay.
He hasn't spent any time.
So, okay, the second trial, and it would last 19 days. The second trial was mostly identical to the first trial. The witnesses for the prosecution were mostly the same, and the stories they told lined up with what they said the whole time. One exception, though, was a witness named Officer Stevens, who was a former crime scene investigator who photographed the scene all throughout the process. The defense attorney questioned Officer Stevens by asking her to admit different items had been moved in the room because in one photo they'd be in one place, and in another photo they'd be in another. The explanation was obvious to Stevens that the photos were taken before, during, and after the crime scene was processed, and that things had been moved to collect evidence. But the defense wasn't interested on when the photographs were taken, like the timeline. Like, how do you, like, she was like, but this was taken before, and they're like, but, you know, I don't care. It's still been moved.
Yeah, they're just care that it shows that it's moved.
Right.
So, the defense used the second trial as an opportunity to use defamation of character. They were hoping by finding witnesses who said Danny had a horrible temper and a willingness to rage that he could have been mad enough to try and kill Jim. They were hoping the jury would think good riddance and that Jim did Savannah a favor by ridding them of Danny. They even brought up his mental health by going over his hospital stays and troubled youth and his sexuality and sex work.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. The defense was like,
why did we need to know that?
Yeah. The defense was like, oh, it was self-defense. You know why? Because Danny's crazy and he's a gay sex worker. And he had a troubled youth and he's mentally ill.
And he stays in the hospital all the time.
Right. And of course he's aggressive.
That's disgusting. And they went and found all these witnesses that would testify against.
Yes.
Or not testify, but like, say how bad Danny was.
Yeah, they're like, Danny's crazy.
That's gross.
Stupid.
So, on October 8th, 1983, Jim Williams was once again convicted of the murder of Danny Hansford. Since the first trial, Georgia law had changed and they no longer granted appeal bonds for murder trials.
Amen.
Thank you. Jim was immediately booked into county jail. So, he's about to have to stay for the first time in jail, finally.
Yeah, he was actually convicted
in
again.
In October. Yes. This happened?
In May of 81.
And he didn't go to jail until October 8th of 1983.
Amen.
Oh my gosh, sick. So, unfortunately, this story is still not over, because Williams will be tried two more times for the murder of Danny. The third time was about a year after the second trial ended. During the year, Jim stayed in jail the whole time. In order to request a new trial, the evidence provided by the defense had to be astronomical, and it had to be evidence that was found after trial. It couldn't be old evidence resurfaced or old evidence argued in a different way. So, in knowing that, the defense suddenly found a bunch of witnesses that would testify on Jim's behalf, stating that Danny told them on multiple occasions that he was going to try to kill Jim Williams and take his money. So, I feel like this sort of thing should have been presented or explored by the defense before the second trial.
Yes. Like,
at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
So, witness testimony was so strong in the first and second trial, this should have been something they presented then, but this isn't something that existed during those trials.
Yes.
That's so...
Ironically, none of these plans involved Danny going into a rage and killing Jim. According to the new witnesses, 2 years prior to the murder of Danny had been telling them he wanted to kill Jim. Each one of these witnesses created an affidavit and submitted it, along with a request for a new trial to Judge Oliver. Poor Judge Oliver. He's, like, probably really tired of this.
Yeah.
There were obviously rumors going around that these witnesses were being paid to make the sworn statements.
I mean, literally. Thinking the same thing.
Exactly. So, the prosecutors contacted the GBI, and they assigned someone to assist the DA office chief investigator, J.D. Smith. When the new witnesses were questioned by investigators, some of them started to recant their sworn statements they gave to the defense. When the defense got word that these witnesses were recanting, the witnesses then said, no, we didn't recant. Even though they were recorded by the GBI.
Recanting. No.
Literally dumb.
I mean, that sounds fishy.
I know. Like, the GBI is like, is this true? And they're like, oh my God, no.
Yeah, and then
the defense is like, you said no? And they're like, no.
It's true, it's true.
It's true, it's true. Oh my God.
Well, we have a recording right here of you saying it's not true. Well.
Well.
Okay. So, not only were these affidavits required unlawfully and had no truth to them, the defense attorney, Sillier, Seller, what are we saying?
I don't know. I didn't know either.
So, we don't know. Was found guilty of willfully and knowingly procuring a false affidavit of a key witness in another case. He was defending around the same time. This doesn't prove that he did it in the Williams case, but he could have.
He did.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
But he did.
Allegedly. We have to say allegedly, but he did. Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah. In a decision of 4-3, the Supreme Court once again reversed his second conviction on some stupid grounds that we're not getting into, but basically it was something to do with whether or not expert testimony should have been allowed to answer questions about the crime scene being staged. Why do they keep just letting this man?
I don't know.
Okay.
They're letting him get away with murder.
So, here he goes, free again. Anyways, in the third trial, it was submitted to the court by the defense that Danny's hands were not bagged upon his arrival to the hospital. The defense was able to get a nurse to testify that while Danny's body was still at the hospital, she got a call from the medical examiner telling her to bag his hands. The prosecutors discredited this theory because according to the medical chart, the nurse wrote hands bagged under the tab nurse assessment instead orders and treatment.
Instead of orders and treatment.
Oh.
So, if they had called and told her bag his hands, because, you know, they do that for evidence, if they had told her...
She would have put it under a different tab.
She would have put it under treatment, not assessment.
But...
I know.
I've worked in a hospital, and it's so easy to put things in the wrong place, or like...
They could have called and said bag his hands. I mean, it still doesn't change my mind about his guilt.
Yeah. I mean, and even if they did... Maybe she just had that tab opened, or maybe she maybe she was new and didn't know where to put it. Or maybe she thought, I didn't bag his hands, I'll get in trouble if I put it under.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody's going to look into this.
Right.
You know, she didn't know at the time that it would be a big case.
Exactly.
And nurses have a lot on their plate. There's a lot of patients, and things can be messed up.
Oh, yeah.
So.
But basically, the prosecution was like, well, she assessed that the bags were on his hands.
Yeah.
Not that she did put them on his hands.
Yeah.
But she could have done either. I don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Exactly. And she probably doesn't even remember.
Probably not.
She probably did so much. So, on June 9th, 1987, the jury was unable to get a unanimous verdict. 11 wanted to convict and 1 wanted to acquit. So, a mistrial was declared.
Oh my God.
1987. The murder occurred in 1981.
Yes.
And he's literally been in jail a year at one point, and that was it?
He was in jail. No, he was in jail, like, when did they convict him the second time? I don't know. He was in jail a couple years.
Okay, well, anyway, he should have been in jail this whole time. But yes. It's 1987. After the third trial, the prosecution still wanted to try and charge Jim Williams once again. The defense tried to stop this by submitting a motion to stop the charges due to double jeopardy. This was denied, and a fourth and final trial commenced.
Jesus.
Thank God.
Can we just...
This is the last. Okay, if this same judge, is Judge Oliver still with us? After the third trial, the prosecution still wanted to... Wait.
Judge Oliver's like, due to personal reasons, I will be passing away.
Yeah. Anyway, the trial was moved to a new location in Augusta, Georgia. Unfortunately, Jim Williams was acquitted of all crimes on May 9th, 1989, 8 years and 1 week after the murder of Danny Hansford. And
this is the best part.
Yeah.
Jim Williams ironically died 8 months after his acquittal.
Yay.
Allegedly from heart failure, because he didn't have one. It's up to y'all to decide whether or not Jim's death was karma's way of winning. Although it's clear Jim had a history of being inappropriately involved with young boys and men most of his adult life, and the fact that he killed young Danny Hansford for a reason we still don't know, and the fact that he allegedly helped pay off his defense witnesses in the third trial, Savannah still loves and adores Jim, and to this day, people still visit his grave and also leave notes on his findagrave.com obituary. I'm not reading any of these notes people left because Jim sucks, and I don't care if he restored 1,000 Savannah buildings and was best friends with God himself. He killed a 21-year-old boy after taking advantage of him for years and using him for sex and dangling money over his head. He blew his brains out. They splattered across the room and onto the chair. Then he put the chair on top of sweet Danny's body for no reason. In my opinion, this is just my opinion, not a fact. I think Jim did it. I don't know exactly at what angles he shot him or which angles was fired into Danny first or like how the shots came or whatever or what the argument was actually over, but he did it. Danny never got the justice he deserved.
Also, it's weird that people leave nice notes on his find a grave because we also found another find a grave in a case we've already covered. And people were leaving, like, snarky comments, like, for the victim.
Yes.
Like, it was for Christy Cornwell, and they were, like, putting rest in peace, Christy, and stuff on...
And, like, if you did it, may God have mercy.
Yeah.
And on Jim Williams, they're like, oh, I love you. You changed Savannah forever. Like, I miss the smell of your smoking cigars.
Ew.
Sicko.
Ew.
Mm-mm.
We don't like Jim, people.
No. Anti-Jim.
Yes. So if you watch the movie and read the book based on this murder, you'll find that it's entirely glamorized.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, what Hollywood always does to stuff. They don't even use Danny's name in the movie or book. They use the name Billy Hansen. So not only was Jim allowed to get away with murder, they couldn't even give him enough fucking respect to use his real name. Also, the main character of the movie and book was Jim. Why? Why? Oh, well, because he's rich, powerful, and smokes cigars all the time. Danny deserves a book or a movie or all of it.
He does. Danny, not Jim.
Yes.
Now we're going to read some of the freaking amazing notes people have left for Danny, not Billy, Hansen on findagrave.com. Danny has over 400 flowers left by people from as early as 2001 to as recent as December 13th, 2020.
Yes.
Amber, you can start and we'll just go back and forth.
Okay. June 2020. I will always love you, Danny.
January 18th. You mattered.
That was January 2018.
January 2018. You mattered.
June 27th. 36 years.
June 2017.
Oh my God. June 2017. 36 years and I still can't believe it. I still have the picture you drew of me. I never go to the fort that I don't think about you and those times there. OXOX Tybee Boy. B-O-I.
Yeah, so somebody know him.
Yeah.
September 2007, I helped you buy champagne once in Smith Brothers, and you stood and talked to me for half an hour. Such a polite guy. I would imagine the way they portrayed you in that darn book and movie was necessary to sell them, but I sure hope people don't believe everything they see on the screen or read. I think you deserve more than that. I wish you peace in the hereafter and comfort to your family.
May 2011. May you rest in peace. It is very sad you did not live to tell your side of the story, and so many people have gotten rich from it. And that's the story and murder of Danny Hansford.
How do you feel, Amber?
That's so crazy. This is...
I know. But it needs to be done, you know. I think only one podcast has talked about this case.
I feel so bad for Danny's family, or like anybody that knew Danny.
His whole life was a struggle.
Yeah.
His dad killed himself. His mom was really young. He never got the mental health he deserved. There was no protections for him as a sex worker.
Yeah.
You know, he felt bad about it, writing that note.
Yeah, and I mean, someone admitted to shooting and killing him, and then they only spent like 2 years in jail.
Yeah, there's no justice. That's not justice. Yeah,
that's
like, sad. I said it, his brain splattered all over the room.
Yeah.
You murdered somebody, and that doesn't seem like self-defense to me. You don't shoot someone three times, wait 36, 58 minutes later
That's
to call.
That's the thing, the time that he waited.
And he called the friend before the ambulance.
Yeah. And the chair, like, that's just so odd and out of place. Why would you even?
I know. I think in his haste, he's kind of dumb, and he's like, well, I'm just going to put it here.
Yeah.
Literally, I think it was such a panic decision because it doesn't make sense.
Well, he moved the body and then probably realized this has skull fragments on it. He didn't know it was skull fragments.
Yeah.
But he was like, I have to have this close to the body because it has, like,
something
from the body on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. God, Amber's in the FBI. What the heck? Ew. I feel weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't... There's so many different, like in lawyer games, they're like, oh, he shot him at, like, a 45-degree angle from the north side. I'm like, okay, look. I'm just one person.
Yeah.
I barely passed math. Amber knows this. Really? Literally, don't test me. But basically, this is so many stories in one. This is, you've got four trials with one mistrial, and you've got you've got acquittals, you've got two convictions, and it's all the same man, and he's rich, and he's powerful, and it's in Savannah, and it's at a mansion.
And Danny still never got justice.
Danny still never got justice. They renamed him Billy Hansen. And then they made the main character Jim. Danny is the freaking main character of this episode. Period.
Yeah, exactly. Not Jim.
And he will always be the main character in our minds of this case.
Yeah, and if you know anything about him, put information out there. It's hard to find.
It is hard to find. If you know anything about him, like, let us know. If you have a memory of him, like, I don't know if this is going to reach anybody that knows him, but if it does, you know, put your story out there. Danny deserves to be remembered. He was so young, he didn't have a chance to live his life like he needed and wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if he was still alive, he would be a little bit older than my dad, so he would have a lot of time left.
Yeah.
He didn't have a chance to have kids or anything.
That's so sad.
I know. He was groomed.
Yeah, it's sad. And he obviously did this to other people. And
I know.
Danny didn't get justice, but Jim did kind of get some karma that he deserved.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm glad he died.
And he did have to deal with a lot through four trials. Like, that's a lot on somebody.
Oh, yeah. And I don't, I don't care if anybody misses his cigar smell or Christmas parties or anything. Stupid. If you or someone you know or someone that you have seen be abused sexually or they're assaulted, you can call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673, which is also 1-800-656-HOPE.
And I would like to just say this, before quarantine and when I was working with my previous client, we would go walking and they had posters in the bathrooms. And I noticed this somewhere else, actually. They have posters up that say, like, if you're being, like, used for sex work or underpaid. And it has numbers and things.
That's good.
And at the pediatrician's office, I went to the restroom and they have in there, like, cups or something you can write on it. It says to write in the red marker if somebody is with you and you need to talk privately.
That's in my doctor's office.
Ask the person that's with you to leave and then you can get help.
They ask every person to do a urinalysis cup.
That's awesome.
And there's like a key like that says red if you need, orange if you need this. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, this is just a smaller scale of
a weird thing though about that is my OBGYN's office didn't have that.
Oh.
So I just saw this at the pediatrician's office, which is
everybody should do it. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, you wouldn't go to a pediatrician if you didn't have a child.
No. But basically sexual assault is like super serious and sex trafficking is a really big problem. We've already talked about it tonight, Amber and I, like, privately. I feel like it's one of those things that I try not to think about because there's nothing I can actively do to stop it.
Yes.
But watch your surroundings.
Yes, and especially if you're going into stores and you're by yourself, it's so easy for people to conceal their identity because we have to wear masks. I was talking about this with Lucas. If you have a concealed carry permit, I don't think you're supposed to conceal carry and wear a mask.
Oh, yeah, I heard
that.
So
how does that work? Can you still conceal carry right now or not conceal carry? Or
I've thought about that. I don't know.
I mean, I know you have to wear a mask. Well,
they might make an exception.
You should wear a mask.
Yeah.
To go into stores, but you don't have to.
No. Even when they say you have to, they don't make them around here.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I still feel like if you were going to commit a crime, you would just wear the mask because it's easy to conceal your identity. And we actually saw on Facebook earlier that a woman was followed at our local Walmart. But she did get help from the manager, and like the manager helped her check out and walked her to her car and stuff. So they did take it seriously, which is nice to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's happening more and more frequently
and closer to home.
Yes. And if you feel uncomfortable, talk to an employee, talk to somebody. Do not leave, don't walk out to your car if you feel uncomfortable. If a vehicle is parked next to you and it looks suspicious, don't walk out. If you notice someone being on every aisle you're on,
yes,
maybe go contact somebody.
If you see them staring at you or taking a picture of you or riding stuff on your vehicle.
Yes, I've saw that. And if it's nothing, oh well.
Yeah.
You were, you know, who cares?
Yeah. That just lets everybody know that they should also be aware.
Yeah.
And you should also try to carry pepper spray and a taser if you have one.
Yeah. And just because you aren't sure of something doesn't mean you shouldn't talk up about it.
No, nobody needs to be following you. There's no reason that somebody has to go down the baking aisle at the same time you do, and also the meat aisle and everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no reason for someone to go through the exact grocery list you have.
Exactly. So, but that's all we have for this episode.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in. If you see somebody being assaulted or you suspect it, just report it. But we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Check out our Instagram, Crime Cafe Pod. Email us, crimecafepod@yahoo.com.
Yes.
Other than that, we'll
talk to you next week. Bye. Bye.
It's up to y'all. Wait, hold on. Oh, it's up to y'all. Wait, what? It's up for y'all. It's y'all. It's up.